Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 19, Studying the Structure of the Universe. Famous chapters. Many devotees have bit the dust after reading these chapters. Yeah, it's chapter 20. Sorry. Anyway. I'm just going to read the translations, and I'm not going to read the summary because you'll find out it's all about how many miles the ocean of liquor is. So we don't want to get anyone too excited here. Devotees leaving the Hare Krishna movement looking for the ocean of liquor somewhere. Diving into the ocean of liquor. In the original tapes that we got in Buffalo, probably in 69, he was sending around the Krishna book tapes to be transcribed. And I got to listen to one of them. And it said, Prabhupada said, there's an ocean of liquor. And I believe he said, maybe I was wrong, but he said there's an ocean of LSD also. For those who are sincerely interested in such things, God has provided for everything, everyone. No shortage in the kingdom of God. So this is text number one, and there are no purports for a number of verses, and they're all about the miles, how big Jambudweep is, how big Plakshadweep, Samantadweep, and all the other dweeps. So text one, the great sage Shukadeva Goswami said, thereafter I shall describe the dimensions, characteristics, and forms of the six islands, beginning with the island of Plaksha. So I guess he's already... Asamara Mountain is surrounded by Jambudweep. Jambudweep is also surrounded by an ocean of salt water. The breadth of Jambudweep is 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles. So keep in perspective that the earth, I believe, is something like 30,000 miles around, something like that. So this is 800,000 miles. And the breadth of the saltwater ocean is the same. As a moat around a fort is sometimes surrounded by a garden-like forest, the saltwater ocean surrounding Jambudweep is itself surrounded by Plakshadweep. The breadth of Plakshadweep is twice that of the saltwater ocean. In other words, 200,000 yojanas, 1,600,000 miles. On the Plakshadweep, there is a tree shining like gold and as tall as the tree on Jambudweep. At its root is a fire with seven flames. It's because this tree is a Plaksha tree that the island is called Plakshadweep. Plakshadweep was governed by Idmajva, one of the sons of Maharaj Priyavrata. He endowed the seven islands with the names of his seven sons. Dividing the islands among the sons, he then retired from active life to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Now here's the long purport and long verse. So pay attention because we'll test you on each one of these. Just make sure you stay awake as we read the names here. The seven islands, Varshas, are named according to the names of those seven sons. Shiva, Yavasa, Subhadra, Shanta, Shema, Amrita, and Abai. In these seven tracts of land, there are seven mountains and seven rivers. The mountains are named Manikuta, Vrajakuta, Indrasena, Jyotisman, Suparna, Hiranyashtiva, and Meghalamala. And the rivers are named Aruna, Nrina, Angirasi, Savitri, Supta Bhata, Ritumbara, and Satyambara. Imagine what kind of memory Shukadeva Goswami had. He'll repeat these names. One can immediately be free from material contamination by touching or bathing in those rivers. And this forecasts the people who live in Plakshadweep, the Hungsas, Patangas, Urdhvayanas, and Satyangas, purify themselves in that way. The inhabitants of Plakshadweep live for 1,000 years. They are beautiful like the demigods, and they also beget children like the demigods. By completely performing the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, and by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as represented by the sun god, they attain the sun, which is a heavenly planet. Can anyone repeat the names of all the rivers? What about one river? Can anyone remember one river? Savitri. That is the name of a river, but unfortunately it's not the... Oh, yeah, it is, actually. You got it. Yeah. Savitri. Abai was one of the names of the sons. Sons of... Plaksha. Who is it? Maharaj Priyavrata's son. Okay. So according to the general understanding, there are originally those three deities, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, and people with a poor fund of knowledge consider Lord Vishnu no better than Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. This conclusion, however, is invalid, as stated in the Vedas. Ishta Purtam Bahuda Jayamanam Vishvam Vibharati Bhuvanasva Bhuvanasya Nabi Tad Evagnis Tad Vayus Tat Suryas Tad U Chandrama Agni Sarva Daivata. This means that the Supreme Lord who accepts and enjoys the results of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, technically called Ishtapurta, who maintains the entire creation, who supplies the necessities of all living entities, Eko Bahudo, Eko Bahunam Yovidadati Kaman, and who is the central point of all creation, is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu expands as the demigods known as Agni, Vayu, Surya, and Chandra, or simply parts and parcels of his body. Lord Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam 9:23, Yepyanya Devata Bhakta, Yajante Sharayan Vitaha, Te Pimameva Konteya, Yajantya Vidipurvakam. Devotees who worship the demigods with firm faith worship me also, but not according to regular principles. In other words, if one worships the demigods but does not understand the relationship between the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his worship is irregular. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham hi sarva jagnanam, bhokta cha pravur eva cha. I am the only enjoyer of ritualistic ceremonies. Maybe argue that the demigods are as important as Lord Vishnu, because the names of the demigods are different names of Vishnu. This, however, is not a sound conclusion, for it is contradicted in the Vedic literature. The Vedas declare, and there's a long Vedic verse here, which we won't read, the demigods, the moon, Chandra, come from the mind of Narayan, and the supreme and the sun god came from his eye. The controlling deities of hearing and the life air came from Narayan, and the controlling deity of fire was generated from his mouth. Prajapati, Lord Brahma, came from Narayan, Indra came from Narayan, and the eight Vasus, the 11 expansions of Lord Shiva, and the 12 Adityas, also came from Narayan. The Smriti Vedic literature is also said, and there's a long verse here, Brahma, Shambhu, Surya, and Indra are all merely products of the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, This is also true of the many other demigods whose names are not mentioned here. When the cosmic manifestation is annihilated, these different expansions of Narayan's potencies will merge into Narayan. In other words, all the demigods will die. Their living force will be withdrawn, and they will merge into Narayan. Therefore, it should be concluded that Lord Vishnu, not Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a government officer is sometimes accepted as the entire government, although he is actually but a departmental manager, so the demigods, having achieved power of attorney from Vishnu, act on his behalf, although they are not as powerful as he. All the demigods must work under the orders of Vishnu. Therefore it is said, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Savyavritya. The only master is Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu, and all others are his obedient servants who act exactly according to his orders. The distinction between Lord Vishnu and the demigods is also expressed in Bhagavad Gita. Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Yanti Madhya Jino Pimam. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, whereas the worshippers of Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu go to the planets in Vaikuntha. These are the statements of the Smriti. Therefore, the idea that Lord Vishnu is on the same level as the demigods is a contradiction in the Shastras. The demigods are not supreme. The supremacy of the demigods is dependent on the mercy of Lord Narayan, Vishnu or Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vircharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarna. The entire Vedic literature, according to Lord Krishna, is all meant to convince us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, Yoman evam samudo janati purushottama sasaravavit bhajante mam sara bhavena bharata. That whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatamam shastram idam yuktva mayanaga etad bhutva bhurimatsyat krita kritasjavarata. This is the most confidential knowledge of all the Vedic scriptures. Whoever knows this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Now, of course, we hear arguments that Brahma, Shiva are not God. And we may read this, but when we recite the ten offenses, not to consider the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. But at least in the Western world, we have very little experience of demigods. Maybe during Shakespearean times, when they were trying to eliminate the idea of sub-controllers from God, because at one time people had the idea that everything was more or less subcontracted from God. Down to the flowers in the gardens, to the rocks, to everything. There was some demigoddess or god which was subcontracted to control that particular area. That, in the course of time, that idea was lost, along with the idea that there is any god. So now they've gotten rid of the subcontractors and the contractor and the boss. And we're down to Goldman and Sachs, and other types of organization, corporations, and movie stars, and actors, football players, that these have become the modern heads of the universe as far as people are concerned. I grew up in an area that was called Church Avenue in New York. But if you go to Church Avenue, you'll find there are no churches there anymore. They replace them with banks. The people no longer go to the church to pray for their bread. They go to the bank to pray for a loan so they can buy their bread. In other words, people's conception of how the universe is running has changed from there are personalities controlling things to money sweeter than honey. If you get a piece of paper, then you become one of the controllers of the universe, as far as they're concerned, that this Earth planet is the only planet where there are people, and people work according to the money. As they say, Sherlock Holmes is saying, look for the woman, cherchez la femme. But the woman is also looking for money. So if you follow the money trail, then you'll find out where the woman and everyone else is. So money has become more or less a symbol of control, and money is utilized for sense gratification. And therefore, in Kali Yuga, there is no more idea that there is religiosity and the purpose is liberation from our material conceptions of life. No, the idea is the only religion is how to make money and enjoy sense gratification and liberate oneself from any thought that there should be any restraints towards making money and enjoying sense gratification. Therefore, people have become worshippers of simply the material energy, shakta worshippers, and in a very low standard. But our point is to establish not so much that there are demigods, as Krishna, as it says in the Mahabharata, Tarka Pratishta Shutaya Vibina Nesavarishya Yasyana Binam Dharmasya Tadvam Nihitam Guhaya Mahajano Yena Katha Sapanta. People argue over what the purpose of life is and how to achieve it. They may even cite great rishis or scriptures or their own intelligence. So these are all valid methods of argument. But ultimately, we have to know what the goal is. We have to choose a goal. And on the basis of what we think the goal is, then we'll take shelter of arguments from scriptures or rishis or our own so-called intelligence. Therefore, everyone in their heart has some desire to achieve. In the mode of ignorance, the great Mahajans are persons like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu. So people worship them to become like them. Or nowadays, maybe it's Bill Gates. Well, I don't know. Adolf Hitler probably mentions that there was one man in Calcutta, that I guess he knew him. He was worshiping Adolf Hitler because during the war he made a large amount of money on the black market. And the mode of passion may be Bill Gates or someone like that. And the mode of goodness, it may be some person who's fighting for the environment. In spiritual life, we choose Krishna and his representatives as our leaders, and then we try and follow them. So we have to become conscious, who is my leader? Who is my master? Why am I doing this activity? Is it to please my leader? Of course it's to please my leader, because either our leader is the spiritual master and the representatives of Krishna, and we're doing our activities to please Krishna, following their instructions, or there's going to be some leader that we're unconscious of. Maybe it's my mother, maybe it's my Captain Kangaroo on television, who I fell in love with when I was 5 years old, and that infatuation goes on when I'm 75. Maybe it's some leader, I may not be conscious, but I'm doing my activities according to their directions to please them. Therefore, bhogaishvaya prasaktanam tyaya parita chetasam vyavasayatnaka buddhi samadhonana vidyate. If we don't have Krishna as our leader, we'll have thousands of leaders, thousands of persons who are demanding service from us that we're trying to please. And what are they telling us to do? What is their goal? Gratify your senses. This is how I gratify my senses. I gratify my senses like a pig. Well, I have a better idea, another leader says. I gratify my senses like a tiger. Oh, this is very disgusting. I gratify my senses like a deer. I'm much more sophisticated. In the jungle, Prabhupada said, there are many different varieties of animals. Some of them are like tigers. Some of them are like deer. The deer are much more polite when they eat and sleep and mate and defend. And therefore, we may glorify them for their good manners. And the tigers are much more impolite. They're much more rough in their habits. And we may criticize them. But after all, our topic is about animals. Similarly, there may be many varieties in the modes of goodness, passion, ignorance of how to gratify the senses, but after all, the same topic is there. How to eat, how to sleep, how to mate, and how to defend. Of course, we're not against eating, sleeping, mating, defending. These things are necessities. But we're against the idea that these are the goals of life, and that one should simply concentrate on these activities in order to perfect one's life. We understand that these are necessities of life. They must be done, but they should be done also in terms of trying to please Krishna. And themselves are not ends. Trying to please Krishna is the end. Try to become Krishna conscious is the end. And therefore, while we're engaged in all kinds of activities, Krishna says, Chaitasya sarva karmani mai sanyasya mataraha buddhi yogam upashitya masitak sadatam bhava. And all our activities and for the results depend upon me. Work always under my protection in such devotional service. Be conscious of me, fully conscious of me. So while we're eating, sleeping, or even mating or defending, we're also supposed to be conscious of Krishna, like Arjuna. He didn't give up defending, but he did it for Krishna. Similarly, the demigods, they're real persons. We don't reject the demigods. We're not against the demigods. We don't criticize the demigods. They're devotees. In this fifth canto, we find that even Bharat Maharaj, he was worshiping the demigods, although he was a pure devotee. But he worshiped them as pure devotees of Krishna. The mistake that's mentioned here is not to honor the demigods. The mistake is to think that there's someone above Krishna. Because as soon as we forget Krishna, then at once we become captured by illusion. It may be a nice illusion, a not-so-nice illusion. It may be a mixed illusion. Just like Gop Kumar, we find in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he went from one to this earth planet, to different realms on the earth planet, to the next, to the Swarga Loka, where he became Indra. Then he went to Maha Loka, where he became one of the great sages. He went to Jana Loka, where he became an expert meditator. He went to Lord Brahma Loka, where he became Lord Brahma. He even went to the Kala Loka, Nira Kala Loka, where there are the Brahman effulgence, the Vaitarani River, where he practically almost merged, but he didn't merge. And then he went to Shiva Loka, he went to Vaikuntha, he went from one place to the next. But on his journey, when he was getting through the material coverings, he found out that it's not only inside this earth, or only inside this universe, that there are living entities. Even in the coverings there are living entities. And Maya manifests herself in more and more subtle ways. And there are deities worshipped in the covering of earth, Lord Varaha. There's deities worshipped in the covering of fire and air. Finally, he was almost done. And then Maya, Mohini Murti, was in the last covering, the incarnation of Mohini Murti. Sex personified came and said, I'm yours, take me. So that was, as the mafia says, give him a deal they can't refuse. So that's it. That's the deal. Fortunately, he refused the deal. He hurried himself out of the last covering. He didn't want to wait around and think about it. And he got out of the last covering. Then he was liberated. So Maya will manifest herself in so many different varieties of way, but ultimately the real goal is Mohini, illusion, that this idea I'm a controller, I'm an enjoyer, that's the essence of it, is all in Mohini Murti. If we look at anything, whether it's the demigods or other living entities, and we look at them with the idea of controlling and enjoying, then they become our God. They become our dictator. They're the ones who influence our senses and our mind, and then we fall under their control. So it's not that nowadays people have to be worshipping demigods to be in Maya or illusion, to think that they're better than Krishna. They worship their dog at home and think he's better than Krishna. They're serving their dog, D-O-G. Instead of God, G-O-D, they're serving D-O-G. The exact opposite. So then the dog becomes the master, and whatever the dog, when it waves its tail, the heart beats faster. I pleased him. My life is successful. And when the dog wants to go out to do his business on the street, then the master massively follows him, praying, please. May your digestion go on fruitfully. So modern society has given up all ideas of demigod worship, all ideas of any kind of higher worship, and they're down to the dog or whatever else they're worshiping. They're a football team praying, sending in the contribution so their football team can win. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Prachaja Mame Kama Sharanam Vraja. Just give up all these different varieties of religion. Because Krishna did not want even his father to worship Indra. He wanted Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. He wanted us to work in such a way as we think about him. As we read today, we heard today from Prahlad Maharaj, that there is no enemy in this world except for the uncontrolled mind, and as long as the mind is not fixed on Krishna, it's not being controlled. It's being controlled by the illusory energy. Controlled mind means controlled by Krishna, thinking about Krishna, and uncontrolled mind means being controlled by the illusory energy, which is being manifest itself in many varieties of ways. Previously, people would respect the demigods as great personalities. Now people are not aware of them. They're just aware of insignificant. The Tevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu. But they don't know that the goal of life is to reach Krishna. Dirashaya ye bahi artamanina. Something completely insignificant they take as so important. As Prabhupada said, when God comes, they think he's an ordinary person. And when an ordinary person comes, they think he's God. As we heard yesterday from His Holiness Patipurushita Maharaj. The conclusion is we should chant Hare Krishna and be convinced that we're doing the best possible activity, and any activity aimed at pleasing Krishna will help us remember to chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, we should understand that these are the highest activities, this is the highest worship, this is the ultimate sacrifice, this is what everyone should be doing, and if no one else does it, at least we should do it. And in the meantime, then we'll know how to worship everyone, what to speak of the demigods, how to properly give them respect. So, stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Moment of silence. Pray for the people who aren't chanting Hare Krishna. What's that? I forgot them myself. I even forgot to ask the question. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.